Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we kick it off with our friends from Talk Radio News. One of my favorites, of course, Ellen Ratner. Ellen, you know, everybody's trying to search for answers to what happened at the Boston Marathon, obviously. What's the latest that's coming out of Washington as far as...
Well, the latest is that we're getting more sense of what the bomb was made up of, or bombs, and it had a lot of little pieces of metal. It was in a pressure cooker. There have been some Drudge Report things that, you know, there were some of the Arabic sites are saying that use a pressure cooker, you know, when doing jihad. But we don't know that an American homegrown kind of terrorist didn't look at those sites. They really don't have any information, and if they do, they're not giving it out yet.
Yeah, and do you think that's partly just to be cautious because of jumping to conclusions and not wanting to point fingers and making sure everything's as sewn up as it could be?
Yes, I think that they are really trying to do whatever they can to sort of ramp down speculation until they have more. The FBI has been put in charge of this. The president got a very detailed briefing, and he will be going to Boston on Thursday morning.
Oh, that's good news that he's going there. All right. Also, bad package sent to one of the senators. And tell us what was in the package and who got the package.
Well, yes. The package contained ricin. It was tested three times. And it went to somebody who I know quite well, Senator Wicker of Mississippi. Senator Wicker is, in fact, the Mississippi senator. His wife, his sister, has gone to South Sudan with me twice. Pretty amazing. And what can I say? It's just quite astounding.
Yeah, no kidding. And who knows what connection to disconnect or whatever. The immigration bill, we've been talking about that a lot, and that's going to kick in now here, right, tonight?
Yes. It looks like the bill is what's called being dropped tonight. And so we are going to be hearing that we're going to be hearing all the details. Now, of course, we've heard a lot of the details. We just haven't seen exactly what is in that bill in terms of the actual reading of it, but we will now.
Yeah, how about this has been talked about a lot on my show. The CISPA cybersecurity bill is in the House right now. What do you think happens with that? Because isn't the White House going to say no to that?
Yes. It looks like the White House today threatened to do a veto, and a lot of the more liberal or people who are concerned about government interference have actually been delighted about that.
Yeah. The one thing that we noticed in LaGuardia, DFW, all over the country, American Airlines down. There was kind of a little bit of a panic about that and down for a long time. What was the problem? This was a software thing, right?
It was a software thing. It was with their Sabre system. And that the FAA, you know, concerned about things like that they run through the names through, you know, those terrorist lists, et cetera. They were very concerned about that, so they grounded all American Airlines planes till 5 o'clock today when that apparently was fixed, the problem.
Yeah. Ellen Ratner, thanks. Stay safe, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it.
All right, and then picking up where Ellen left off, talking about the FBI and some of the things that I know, obviously they're trying to trace every element of what they've found and being very elusive about releasing a lot of the information. There are these nylon bags, and we're talking about the pressure cookers that Ellen mentioned there and the photographs that were found where the bags were right there at the finish line. One of the pictures that actually now has been isolated shows a bag next to a mailbox along the barricade on the marathon route. And the second it's kind of a little bit blurred, but there isn't a bag. And so it looks as though that was dumped. One thing that's happened, and I think this is smart, because of people snapping all kinds of photographs, of course, at the Boston Marathon, the police, the local police, but even the FBI is saying this, that people should get all their shots, especially if they were there near the finish line, and send them in. And there's a $50,000 reward actually now for any information that leads to an arrest of who could have been the culprit in this one. Of course, the trail seems a little bit cold from what I'm told at this point. But, you know, looking for pictures and asking the public to send them in to boston@ic.fbi.gov. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to put it on my website as well, americatonight.net, but boston@ic.fbi.gov, because this way they can look for different things that they might see that they might not have seen, even in some of the video that they've been poring over. But these pressure cookers were placed in the nylon bags. That's what they think. Of course, the explosives that were used from there, the powder, the way the homemade bomb was put together. And then, you know, you look at the victims of this, and it's staggering. I mean, you know, it's absolutely staggering. They've even identified the second bombing victim, a 29-year-old. And what's so sad is that she was at the finish line, not a runner, but was at the finish line to cheer on friends. And her name is Crystal Marie Campbell, a restaurant manager who had a heart of gold, according to the people who knew her. But clearly, here was the thing. Like so many other people, she was there to cheer on her pals. She was there to help them however she could, cheer them on, rallying them down in the final moments of that race. And she was at the wrong place, unfortunately, at the wrong time. And so that's a positive ID. And even sadder about this story, originally when her family was looking for her, because, you know, everybody, especially anybody local, they were searching for family members that they knew were there. There were tents that were set up as things started to unfold in the day. And her family thought that she was okay because originally that's what they had been told. There was a misidentification. So can you imagine? I mean, does your heart not go out for that family thinking, you know, she's all right. She's not that second, the one of the people, that second victim at all. And then it turns out that it was a misidentification, unfortunately. And then, you know, because first they were told by doctors that she was alive and she was in surgery. And then what happened was when they took the father, Crystal Marie Campbell's father, to see her, she wasn't it wasn't her. She wasn't the patient. And then eventually, as a police detective was trying to help them unfold the mystery, they learned that she was dead. So, wow. I mean, that's twice you're getting that information. Unbelievable. Thinking you survived, and then they didn't after the Boston Marathon. And unfortunately, for way too many people, the scenarios were so grim. And there were also some amazing people who were helping other people, who came back, who tried to help, who put tourniquets on and carried people away. And, you know, that's what you got to love about Americans, resilience, finding a way to do whatever they could to help anybody get off the street, pick up pieces of shattered lives, that kind of thing. Coming up, more on the investigation. That's on the flip side here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Type of event this is, it requires that we don't turn these events into a police state. So we struck what we believe to be the appropriate balance. We'll review all of that, and we'll come to some conclusions down the road. When you have an event like this, you can't lock it down like it's a military operation. It needs to be open to the public. There's commerce occurring up and down that parade route.
Yeah, so, you know, this is the question afterwards. What about big sporting events? And there you hear Commissioner Ed Davis, you know, saying you can't lock this down. I mean, this is an open race. You think of the miles and miles and miles where people are running. And, you know, it's a marathon. And so ultimately, coming around next year, you could imagine how many people I think are going to want to run and show solidarity. It'll be the biggest race ever as far as people coming to see it. And so on and so forth. So what? That's exactly what he's saying. You know, hey, when people are criticizing handling of this and that, there was only so much that we could do. In the meantime, the FBI, as we talked about at the top a little bit, they're trying to rebuild the bombs, trying to take the fragments, trying to take the ball bearings, which they know they had to dig out of people. That's what the surgeons were doing. They had fragments of nails and the ball bearings, they had scraps of some of the nylon. They think that was from the backpack. And it's all at the FBI's lab for analysis so they can analyze and look at it and maybe get some kind of a trace of something there, like tracing the powder, serial numbers, that kind of stuff back. what I heard from somebody today was, of course, they're looking at all of those sorts of things and trying to positively maybe identify somebody and link it to what happened. Because as of now, there's kind of leads all over the board, but nothing, you know, nothing solid, nothing concrete. It's kind of lost in the wind here. Somebody said to me, who was in the middle of what happened at 9/11, we were talking about both being in New York and going back and forth and watching everything happen, that we hope it's not going to take another 10 years, a decade, to uncover, you know, who this is. The president, during the day, embracing the word terrorism. Now, this is kind of a crazy deal. Whether it's domestic terrorism, whether it's foreign terrorism, it's terrorism. Why can we not use the word terrorism for what, I guess for what it invokes? Forget that. That's a ridiculous PC thing. It is what it is. It's terrorism, whatever it is. That's obviously someone using a bomb and doing the heinous thing that they did to so many people, where it looked like a war zone and there's limbs scattered all over the place. It's terrorism, period. That's it. Whatever organization, if it's an organization, lone wolf person, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. It is what it is, as they say, and that is a viable label to describe it. A kook, a nutball, an idiot, whatever. Just someone looking for attention, whether it's Islamic terrorism, whatever it is, whatever it is. And let me say this at the top, because I got a couple of emails, one from Brad in Illinois and one from Bob listening to us in Vermont. And basically two of them are saying and drawing the same conclusion, saying they heard what I said about the TSA checks, which I've always been on top of that, you know, pounding that whole thing since I flew back and forth right during 9/11 and watched as everything radically changed. Every time something happened, we were taking off shoes, we were getting our butts patted down, and everything else. And it was the old lady going through it. It makes no sense. We have to embrace the fact that, guess what? You got to profile people. You want to call it some other word? Call it some other word. Detecting what's happening, human behavior. This is exactly what good detectives do. This is exactly what investigators know, terrorist experts know what to look for. And that's called profiling. Who are they looking for? So why we can't embrace that word? I don't get it. I don't see why it is so prickly to people when we keep coming up with the same thing over and over and over again. But anyway, both of those two guys agreed with me and said that, you know, the PC police need to calm down a little bit. And I agree. You got to decide what country do we want to live in and what do we have to do to keep ourselves safe and free at the same time. I mean, tragically, I think life, without a doubt, is again changed, because we're going to see at sporting events, there's going to be a real tightening, I think, of security across the board. I don't care if it's the U.S. Open in tennis. I don't care if it's Super Bowl, World Series, just a typical game. You're going to really see the clamps go down, at least for a while. And then there's kind of this let-up, and we'll probably see the let-up after that. All right, I got to give you the boo of the week. Without a doubt, this makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. The people from Westboro Baptist Church who do whatever they can to get the cameras, get the press on them as far as anti-gay marriage. So fine that the church, they feel we've got to be out there, we've got to be talking about, you know, gay marriage, blah, blah, blah. And they're known for extreme ideologies across the board, but especially the real focus is things against gay people. But this idea that they first went to Newtown, Connecticut, and were going to protest at the funerals of the kids and the people that were killed there, only the anonymous group formed a human chain around some of the motels, the places where they were staying, so they didn't do it. Now the word trickles in that they want to go to the funerals of the people killed in this terrible event at the Boston Marathon. Yeah, I like those boos. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You know, as I said, anything that the church believes, absolutely. We live in a wonderful country because we can disagree on all kinds of issues. So if they want to push the thing that, listen, brother, gay marriage is wrong. I mean, you know, they've got a website that says God hates fags. That's their website. And they put out press releases and all kinds of stuff. But they have no business, I think, at all, when people are grieving an unbelievable loss that they're feeling, to go and protest their shame on those people. That's not a godly thing to do. And it just smacks of, we want publicity. It's not about faith anymore. Unfortunately, that's what happens when you put yourself on the map for doing that. So picketing the funerals of the people killed, yeah, that'd be great for the family of the 8-year-old boy and what's happened to them. Martin Richard, standing by the finish line with his family, the explosion tears through there and kills him. His mother has a brain injury. His 6-year-old sister lost a leg. The father is in complete shock, and everybody is just trying to do anything they can to help this family. And I can't imagine anything more ugly, and again, very ungodlike, than to protest the funeral of this little boy who the community around him absolutely devastated by his death. So young, so excited to be there, and his only problem was he was at the wrong place at the wrong time with this bombing. Randomly, it was the moment that he happened to be around the finish line. And, man, it is so, so sad. The middle-class neighborhood that this kid grew up in, they have fallen apart over this tragedy. And they say how close that whole neighborhood is, and they can't believe it. So shame on the people from Westboro for even thinking that's the right thing to do. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, believe it or not, we're going to lighten the load. Each and every week we talk to our pal Stephen Shohet in Hollywood, and we're going to do that next. We'll kick it around with him on the West Coast, so stay with us.
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com.
LifeStraw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. LifeStraw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. LifeStraw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing LifeStraw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tatler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
We've lived in this neighborhood for years. We have an alarm system, and all of our doors have deadbolts. They kicked in our door and were in and out of our house in about 5 minutes. The police arrived in about 20 minutes, but they were long gone with our TV, jewelry, and my guns. I kept thinking, what if my family had been home? The police officer said that more than 85% of break-ins are through a door, and that deadbolts alone don't stop intruders. The officer told me to go to EasyArmor.net if we wanted something that would actually stop an intruder. Easy Armor reinforces all of the weak points on your doors and is guaranteed to prevent kick-ins. I was surprised at how little Easy Armor costs, and I installed Easy Armor in about 30 minutes.
Visit EasyArmor.net. That's the letters EasyArmor.net. Or call 888-58-ARMOR. That's 888-582-7667. EasyArmor.net. Ultimate door security made easy.
For those who know the benefits of silver, for those who know the healing history of silver, and for those who want to be prepared, now there's Silver Gauze, a nylon elastic wrap with silver bonded to each individual fiber. Silver Gauze is a long-lasting, washable, and reusable must-have for any emergency kit. Get yours today at silvergauze.com. Spelled silver, G-A-U-Z-E.com. Silver Gauze is what your emergency kit is missing.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
When it opened up last week, last Friday, and sure enough, it was 42. Jackie Robinson's, the story about Jackie Robinson, the new movie. I have to say I'm not surprised. It looked very, very entertaining. I haven't seen it yet, but I can't wait to see it. And, you know, Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier. I covered baseball when they were honoring him all over Major League Baseball, and it was great to see the 42s going up and all that sort of stuff. So in the wings each and every week, Stephen Shohet, the author of Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies, joins us. Hey, Stephen, how was your week so far?
Great, Kate, and part of it was seeing the Jackie Robinson movie, which I really enjoyed.
Ooh, so it looked very entertaining, light, moved along, told the story. Is that it?
Yeah, it did, and it's kind of interesting because years ago, Brian Hegelin, his first directing job was the movie Payback. And when he wrote that movie for Mel Gibson, he wrote it and directed it, he wanted to do a character that was really off-putting, really horrible with no redeeming qualities. And Mel Gibson was willing to go along with it at first, but But a few months into the movie, Mel Gibson told Hegland that they were going to make some changes to explain his character's motivation, why he was doing these horrible things. And Hegland was very upset, and he said, well, come on, Mel, we talked about this. The guy's just horrible. That's all there is to it. And Mel Gibson said, well, Brian, you know, the investors are getting a little bit nervous here, and my fans expect me to be a good guy, and with just, you know, just a few changes. And Brian Hegland said, Mel, I won't do it. And Mel Gibson said, okay, you're fired. And Mel Gibson said, you know, I hated to do that, but business is business, and he had to keep the image going. Well, I for this particular project, Brian Hegland decided to really make Jackie Robinson into a heroic character, and he certainly was a heroic character, but he didn't show scenes that would have maybe happen later on, like once Jackie Robinson got into his third baseball season, for example, he became the shackles were taken off as far as him being able to talk back to the people who were abusing him, both umpires and other players. In fact, I mean, it's interesting, in the movie they have Leo DeRocher in the movie, and that was when he was still manager of the Dodgers, and then later on he became manager of the Giants. And he and Jackie Robinson would go at it fiercely. Now, it never got racial between the two of them, but they would say, I mean, just go at it. I mean, Jackie Robinson would talk about Leo DeRocher's wife and her perfume and just all sorts of things that probably aren't fit for people to hear. But that side of Jackie wasn't shown because of the compressed time period of the movie, only really focusing on the first season. In 1947.
Yeah, you know, in looking at this and looking at the cast too, I mean, Branch Rickey, of course, played by Harrison Ford. I think that was great casting there. You saw it, I didn't. You mentioned Leo DeRocher and Chris Maloney. People remember him from Law and Order, one of the series there. And then Jackie Robinson, Chadwick Boseman plays him. And I don't know too much about him, but it looks like the cast really meshed together to tell, really, let's face it, a very important story. And am I right in that in Hegland's screenplay, and then obviously the actors here?
Yeah, the cast all seemed great. I mean, Harrison Ford, probably the biggest stretch for him in his career that I can ever remember. I mean, playing a character unlike, you know, the leading men that we've come to expect from him. And then, you know, Branch Rickey is a fantastic part to play because he's able to, you know, have these scenes where he's just able to dispense wisdom all the time and be a mentor. Now Jackie Robinson, I think it was the second year the Dodgers, did become the highest paid player under a Rickey team, and he was the second most popular man in America in a poll after Bing Crosby. He definitely was the biggest draw in baseball since Babe Ruth. But generally, Branch Rickey was known for being a cheapskate. In fact, Ralph Branca, one of the surviving players who is in the movie as well as the character, the real Ralph Branca was talking about how you know, he and Jackie had to take it easy. They loved going to horse races and had a really good time with that, but they had to be careful because Mr. Rickey didn't pay very much. And that aspect of Mr. Rickey being tight with the buck really wasn't mentioned in the movie. Although in 1950, Jackie Robinson starred in the Jackie Robinson story. He played himself, his only acting role, and that caused friction between Branch Rickey and the other owner of the Dodgers, Walter O'Malley, who referred to Jackie Robinson as Branch Rickey's prima donna. And after that, Branch Rickey left the team, decided get rid of his ownership in the Dodgers or sell off his ownership in the Dodgers. And then it was O'Malley's team. And I think Jack Robinson was a lot less happy about playing for Walter O'Malley, even though he continued to have good years.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You look at 42 and the production of this, and of course it was hot out of the box office the first week, 27 million. And you mentioned this to me, and I didn't even realize this. I don't know how this got past me, but in 1950, Jackie played himself, right?
He did, and it was a very low-budget movie, and Jackie said that he wished it would have been made later in his career, because he was only in the league for 3 years when that movie was made, and it was made by a minor studio at the time. A couple of the major studios were kind of afraid of the subject matter and turned it down. And you know, even though it's a low budget movie, it's still pretty entertaining to watch, and it's fascinating. I mean, you know, how many people have played themselves? It's a fascinating thing, the thing for Jack Robinson was he was pretty nervous about doing romantic scenes with a woman who wasn't his wife, Ruby Dee. But Rachel Robinson showed up and encouraged him, and I think it comes off pretty well. The only problem is that some of the they changed the name of some of the baseball players, because I think for example Dixie Walker, who again is in this particular movie, who signed a petition so Jackie Robinson would not play for the Dodgers, or he didn't want to play with him, who changed his mind during the course of the year and came to respect Jackie Robinson, but was still traded to Pittsburgh after the season was over. He threatened to sue at the time if they made him look bad in that film. He threatened to sue Branch Rickey. So I think they have to change a lot of the names. And even though you have the very authentic thing where a man is playing himself, you have other people who are sort of fictional and not authentic at all. So it's kind of a hybrid, that movie. But it's still, I mean, you watch the story of Jackie Robinson overcoming these obstacles, and it's still a good feeling, even in 1950, even with this really, really low-budget movie. I think it's still very inspiring to watch.
Yeah, we don't have much time, but I wanted to throw this in because he was so funny, and you can watch his old stuff and you laugh out loud. Jonathan Winters passes away in a minute. How brilliant was this guy, do you think?
Well, here's a great quote from Jack Parr. The funniest 25 people I know are Jonathan Winters.
I never heard that. That's great. It is brilliant. He's a very funny guy.
Yeah, very funny, and I big key for him was, he was performing one night as a young man, and he was imitating Clark Gable and Boris Karloff, and somebody advised him and said, you know something, you don't come out when you do that stuff. It's like you're shining their shoes. I mean, why don't you make up characters from your hometown, from Dayton, Ohio, that people haven't heard of? And so that's the whole thing. He used, like the one character he had, Maude, the sort of hip old lady, which was based on an ad of his, and he dressed in drag, but he was able to make these observations. He prided himself on not doing jokes. Just doing characters, and there's lots of great stories about him. But maybe another time we go into more detail because he's a classic Hollywood character.
Oh, absolutely. We'll do comedians. It'd be fun to talk about. You know, have like a list of comedians. So, comic legend, dead at the age of 87, and if you remember him, Mork and Mindy, had appearances on Mork and Mindy and some other television shows too as well. Stephen Shohat, always a delight to have you on the show. We'll do it again next week, my friend, and people can catch you at HollywoodStories.com, right?
That is correct, HollywoodStories.com, and the audio version of the book Hollywood Stories is coming out in a few days.
Ooh, well, congratulations. We'll look for that. That's great.
Thank you. Thank you. Being narrated by Chaz Allen, host of the radio show Little Known Facts. I'm not the narrator, but it should be a really fun product.
All right. There you go. It's fun when you're cruising around in your car. Think of all those people in California on the 101. It's going to be good. You can listen to it there. Thanks, Stephen. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Start life over. Spend more quality time with your family. Take more vacations. Own your own business. Be healthy and earn the kind of income you've always dreamed of. Is it possible? Yes, with Youngevity. First, you've got to see the video that is turning the medical industry upside down. Go to HealthyBody13.com. That's HealthyBody13.com. Watch this video, then pre-register for the Spring Longevity Convention May 2nd through 4th in Las Vegas, Nevada. And guess who will be there?
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And I prescribe the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'll be there.
Hi, I'm Steve Schultz, Vice President of Training here at Longevity. I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'll be there.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, President of the Genesis Communications Network. I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'm going to be there.
Take the Healthy Body Challenge, and don't miss the Longevity Convention in Las Vegas, Nevada, May 2nd through 4th. For more information, go to HealthyBody13.com or call 1-800-360-8695. That's 800-360-8695.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
What do you do when your government is engaged in unconstitutional acts? And what should you do when our elected officials fail to uphold their oath to protect we the people from foreign and domestic enemies? Hello, fellow patriot. I'm Pastor Broden of the Constitutional Defenders of Texas, and we have discovered a constitutional answer to these questions. The answer is found in the First Amendment to the Constitution. The fifth platform in the First Amendment is the answer to our government operating in an unconstitutional way. The right to peaceably assemble and petition redress for grievances. Redress means to set right, to amend. It is a remedy for a wrong or an ill perpetrated against we the people. Sign our petition for redress at c.x.com. That's c.dot.x.com. Redress equals solution.
The Superdome is stuffed, and in spite of what you might think, by now they are going to play Denver and Dallas. Welcome to Super Bowl 12. I'm Pat Summerall with Tom Brookshire, and what is that apparatus?
Now, just a minute. They have no timeouts left. Brady again throws. That's the rhythm again. That'll move the sticks, but that doesn't stop the clock.
That would be the voice of the great Pat Summerall. And the calls that you heard, Super Bowl 12 and 36, the last one he did in Houston. Pat Summerall, really, when you think of football, especially with the 20-plus years that he spent with John Madden in the booth, amazing stuff between the two of them. And I have a quick story here, and we'll dig it out of the archives and eventually air this, but of course the archives are locked up and we couldn't find it. But I had a brush with fame with Pat Summerall. He and I worked out of the same studio a couple of years ago, and a few times when he got sick, he asked me to fill in for him. He did a sports show for an hour, and so I filled in and did his show for him and had the chance to sit down and talk with him a bunch. And he really had some amazing stories, some stories that I couldn't even tell here on the airwaves. And I talked to him about remembering when he even did tennis, because he used to do tennis and he did golf. I can remember when he did a lot of the, anything on CBS, he was the voice. But certainly football was where he was so talented, and it was the combination of Summerall and Madden, the two of them together, that chemistry, I think, was just there. And when you get that chemistry, that's what it is. It's just, you know, whatever creates it, whether they smash you together or not. And one story he did tell me that was, I thought, pretty interesting. The first time he met John Madden, John Madden, you know, had been a football player, had been the coach of the Oakland Raiders, and that in those days, if you go way back to when they first were together, the opulent press boxes that they have now, they really weren't at that level. So they told Pat Summerall to go out and meet John Madden, and they would do this game together. And he climbs up the thing to get to the top of the booth where they were going to be, and he gets up there, and he said when they're up there together, and he said the entire time John Madden is just sweating. It's like Albert Brooks from that movie Broadcast News, like buckets of sweat are just coming down because he's so animated and it's so hot, and he's really just in the beginning stages of trying to do football, and he was really, really nervous, he said, and the flop sweat on him was amazing, so much so that they have charts in front of them, and luckily, of course, Madden knew the game, and the flop sweat went down on the charts and erased some of it. So, because it was in ink. You know, it was in like that ink that when it went down, it smudged. So the people that were in the booth that were spotting were having a brutal time trying to figure out some of the lesser-known people coming off the bench in the game that they happened to be doing. But Pat Summerall, for 16 Super Bowls, was one of the voices, and he died from cardiac arrest, like I said, at the age of 82. He started working for CBS in 1961, and in broadcasting, what a career, 31 years. Then he jumped to Fox. That was his final 8 years, and he worked, his final Super Bowl in I guess it was 2002 was his final Super Bowl. So, you know, there was Summerall, there was Madden, and there was football in between. But before, and I had a chance to also talk to him a little bit about this, before he was a broadcaster, he was a player, and he told me he felt pretty lucky about some of the things that happened with him as far as football was concerned. He played at the University of Arkansas, and basically they played him all over the place. But eventually, the one thing that he was pretty decent at, and this is where he told me he felt really fortunate to find this out, he was pretty good at place kicking. So he did that. That's how he was able to hold on to a spot in the NFL originally, and he played with a whole bunch of teams, including the Giants, and he really loved his years with the Giants. He identified with them. To me, he would say, when I would tell him, he would kid me about being an Eagles fan, and he would talk to me about the Giants. The Giants, that was his team. And I mentioned that golf was so huge for him. He did 26 Masters. We just went through the Masters that Adam Scott won, and he did 26 of them, and he did 21 U.S. Open Championships for CBS, without a doubt. He was, for so long, the voice of that network, absolutely. Sticking along the lines of sports here for a second, because we've just talked so much about the Boston Marathon and the tragedies and trying to uncover more about the bombs, the pressure cookers, what could have happened, when they were dumped there, all the things that the FBI, what they're doing in piecing every piece of evidence that they have. And then, of course, the aftermath, the people who were killed and the people who were injured, the people who are missing limbs now. I'm not surprised by this. I did briefly mention this when I first kicked off the show, but bravo to the Boston Marathon organizers, because we do not cower in this country. You know, we live in a free country and we fight for those freedoms. I mean, isn't this what we say all the time when we're scrapping it up about politics here on America Tonight? But the organizers are already saying, we're going to continue this race next year. I mean, this is the oldest and most prestigious annual marathon. It's a tradition, and we're going to keep doing it. It's part of our history. It's part of our community. So we're not going to let this incident take away something that is very much a part of our lives. And they're saying we're keeping on. And I mentioned that I thought it would be a very, very big race, at least certainly from spectators' point of view, because you have to qualify to get into the marathon. The president, by the way, is traveling to Boston on Thursday. I would imagine there may be a funeral, maybe for the sadly for the 8-year-old who was killed, or perhaps, you know, visiting some people and whatnot, since there are so many that are still in the hospital. You have 170 was the official total of injured people, can you imagine? And there are still a lot of people that are in hospitals trying to recover or going through another surgery or scheduled for another surgery. So that I think that's, you may see some of them, according to some of the doctors, that might be there maybe into the next week and week and a half or so. So certainly a sad day the other day for the city of Boston. And what is really about celebration and running and all that sort of stuff, in the end, that wasn't what it became. It was more about helping the people who were hurt. And people use that word hero and throw it around, but there were some people that could have been heroes and really stepped up to try to pull people onto stretchers or do whatever they can when Boylston Street was closed, which was that main area that the runners come down where people are screaming and yelling, which is where your two bombs went off and changed the fate of so many who wanted to cross the finish line, and obviously, more importantly, what ultimately became, for some, the end of their lives, and others, the big challenge of their life, because now, with amputations, learning to live with a prosthetic limb and walking and all the things that go along with what you have to do to overcome that kind of an injury. And there are so many people now that are making their way to Boston to try to help people in coping with that. Vets, a lot of vets who have lost limbs, there's a whole group of them that have already, I think, arrived in Boston that are going out to the hospitals to try to encourage the people who have to be in shock that they went in healthy condition to a race just to cheer people on and now are in a fight to struggle to deal with a new kind of life.
Hello, I'm Fred Rogers. Some parents wonder how to handle world news with their young children. Well, we at Family Communications have discovered that when children bring up something frightening, it's helpful right away to ask them what they know about it. We often find that their fantasies are very different from the actual truth. What children probably need to hear most from us adults is that they can talk with us about anything, and that we will do all we can to keep them safe in any scary time. I'm always glad to be your neighbor.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.